Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Blue Jackets fans, your time is now.
That's an attention getter.
This is CBJ in 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org.
Do it. Do it.
Now, here's your host. He may not be the biggest.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
But he's certainly the best.
I know he's got balls of steel, that guy.
Bob McGilligan.
It's summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 some, summertime, 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 some, summertime,
summertime, summertime, some, summertime, summertime.
Well,
shut them books and throw them away. Say goodbye to
Oh, yes, it is summertime, but it's about to be busy time for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Welcome to an off-season edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. The Stanley Cup has been awarded, and it was awarded to the St. Louis Blues. I still can't believe that I'm saying that. But St. Louis, a team that was left for dead at one point during the NHL regular season early on when they fired their coach, Mike Yeo, and they brought in Craig Berube as their interim head coach. There was a time when there was a lot of talk about a fire sale in St. Louis, that they might unload some of their biggest and best players because they just weren't going anywhere and it was time to start over. But actually, they were just getting started at that time and then went on to win the Stanley Cup, beating the Boston Bruins in seven games. So now is the interesting time of the summer. The NHL draft is coming up in just a couple of days. NHL free agency will be opening on July the 1st. And the Blue Jackets, along with a lot of other teams in the NHL, but especially the Blue Jackets, are going to find out what they will really be on the other side of this next couple of weeks, because there are players that are out the door. Let's be honest. We know Sergei Bobrovsky is not coming back. We know Artemi Panarin, more than likely, and I'll say that with about 1% chance of him changing his mind, we know Artemi Panarin is not coming back. We don't know what's going on with Matt Duchene. Will he be coming back? That'll be an interesting one. But what are the Blue Jackets going to look like as they head into the 2019-2020 season? We're going to have a much better idea of that coming up over the course of the next few weeks. So as the next few weeks go on, I will keep you updated when the situation warrants. We'll do a couple of these when there's news to be had, or if there's somebody in town that I get a chance to talk to and get you updated. I'm not going to the draft in Vancouver, I can tell you that. So we'll see what happens there. And leading up to that draft, it'll be interesting to see if Jarmo Kekäläinen goes there with only a third-round pick and a seventh-round pick, which is all the Blue Jackets have right now, or if he is able to find a way to garner some more picks, maybe trading the rights to guys like Bobrovsky and Panarin, maybe trading a player off the current roster. We'll have to wait and see if he's able to do anything, and if he does, how he was able to get it done. So, again, this is the fun part of the summer, because this is the point where you get to see what your team is going to look like going into next year. And the Blue Jackets are going to have a lot of money. Without those guys re-signing here, the Blue Jackets are going to have a lot of money. So I think that this year it's going to be a little bit different. I think July 1st is going to be a real key date on this Blue Jackets calendar, because that is when free agency opens, and I think they're going to be very active when it comes to that. But the team did start to get things kind of in line, if you will, at the end of last week. Of course, John Davidson, who was the former president of hockey operations, moved on to the New York Rangers. And the Blue Jackets last week, they restructured their front office, some promotions there, some title changes there. Jarmo Kekäläinen announced that Bill Zito has been promoted to senior vice president of hockey operations, associate general manager, and alternate governor. Basil McCray, who had been with the Blue Jackets the last couple of years, has been promoted to assistant general manager. Josh Flynn, who has been the salary cap guru, also has gotten an assistant general manager title. And Chris Clark, former Blue Jackets player and a guy that's been running the player development department for the last number of years, he is now the director of player personnel. In addition to all of that, the Blue Jackets finally made official what we knew was going to happen last year, right near the end of the year, near the end of the regular season and through the playoffs. Rick Nash, the former Blue Jackets captain, was traveling with the team. He was soaking in everything that he could, getting knowledge from Jarmo Kekäläinen as far as how a front office runs, how things operate, what goes on behind the scenes, all of these things from a management standpoint. Rick Nash was here in the last couple of weeks of the regular season and through the playoffs. And last week, he was named as a special assistant to the general manager. Yesterday, I got a chance to sit down and talk with the former captain, now turned front office member of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Rick Nash.
Yeah, I've been waiting so long for you to come back. I grew a beard and it's starting to turn white. That's how long it's been. I've been waiting for you to come back here.
I know. It seemed like it was going to happen. We just didn't know when and what part. But finally, it feels like it's come full circle and it feels like I'm back home with the Blue Jackets.
Now, this started really last year after it was determined that you weren't going to play. Right near the end of the season, you came in. You were kind of hanging out a little bit, for lack of a better term, with Jarmo Kekäläinen and his staff. Observing, you joined the team in the playoffs, went on the road, watched all the games. At that point, were you just trying to figure out where you might fit in here?
Yeah, I had about 5 months there where I wasn't playing, and I was trying to figure out how I wanted to get into the game next, and talked to a lot of different people. And Jarmo was nice. I asked him if he would have a meeting with me, and he was nice enough to kind of welcome me in and talk to him a bunch, and kind of figured that I would love to kind of see how the teams get built, how the organizations work from behind the scenes. And I'm pretty lucky that he gave me this opportunity.
Was this something that you thought about throughout your career, or was it more toward the end and when you figured that you weren't going to be able to play anymore that you started to think more about this?
For me, I was always thinking about what I wanted to do next because I knew playing hockey didn't last forever. So I've always been interested on how the teams are built. And I think the one thing that's been most surprising to me is how far in advance everything has to be built. You know, you have all your prospects, you have all these draft picks, and it's being looked ahead so much in advance that it's been fun. When you play, you just worry about what's on the ice, and now it's been totally different.
What are some of the conversations that you had, like, during the playoffs in these subjects and talking about, where the team is, where the team is going to be, just those kind of things that you were able to feel it out a little bit?
Yeah, it was a bit different during the playoffs because there's not much you can really do from a management point, but you kind of see what the other teams are doing. You try to see what's working, where you could use some help. It's just interesting to see the relationships too during those times with Torts and Jarmo and just the different things that go in on a daily basis. Whether it's not even related to hockey, whether it's travel schedule, it's fun for me to sit back and watch that.
When you were a player and you had to deal with your head coach or your general manager or both at the same time maybe at times, did you realize that there was that much other stuff going on behind the scenes?
No, you didn't, for sure. And, I think it's nice to have that open pipeline for a player and for the GM, for the player and the coach. I think sometimes for me as a player, just whenever you hear about those meetings, you always think it's going to be bad. And for me, everyone's trying to accomplish the Stanley Cup, and I think it's important for everyone to kind of feel as one, as a Blue Jacket, and not have that, that awkward feeling. And it's been great here. I could see the players interact with Torts. I could see the players interact with Jarmo, and it's been fun to watch.
When the playoffs were over and Jarmo asked you to go to the World Championships and join him there, what did you learn through that experience?
Well, Jarmo's an incredible individual and has a credible eye for hockey players. I mean, he knows every single player in the NHL, every single player in Europe, every single player, coming up in anyone's system. I was really impressed by how much he just knew about the game and trying to teach me on things to watch for while scouting a player, watching them skate, watching them stick handle, watching them away from the puck. Obviously, I have a hockey background and played a lot of years, but it was still fun to be looking for certain things that he looks for in players. It was cool to see some of our guys over there and get a chance to watch them on the big ice and at the international level and watch, some of our picks, watch Elvis play a few games. It was fun, and I learned a lot just hanging around with Jarmo the whole time.
Special assistant to the general manager. What is that going to entail for you? Is it still the same thing, kind of a little bit of everything?
Yeah, me and Jarmo and Billy Zito talked about it, and, they really didn't have a game plan and wearing one hat. It was a bunch of different things. I think they want me to help with recruiting free agents here. They want to help me with young guys in the system, whether they're in junior or Cleveland, and even young guys with the big team. And if I can help in any leadership role with some of our leaders, it's just going to be a kind of a thing that we figure out as we go. But I think they're going to be asking me to wear a lot of different hats.
All right, let me hit on a couple of those things. Leadership, number one. You were a captain when you were here, so you've been in that role. And, of course, the captain is dealing not with just playing day-to-day, but dealing with a coach and dealing with the other players. And, you know, there's much more responsibility. The things that you dealt with as a captain, how much does that help you for this kind of a role?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot. You know, when you're a captain, and this is what I think Nick does such a good job with, is he kind of has that personal relationship with each player. You know, when you're a young guy, you come in and you just worry about your game, and, you know, you don't worry about what's going on with the veteran players and that kind of stuff outside the game. And where I see Nick do such a good job is he kind of has that relationship with everyone and kind of knows, you know, where everyone's head's at. And I think that's an important part as a captain. And, you know, as for leadership, it goes as the same in the room what you have to deal with as a captain. I think when I watch Yarmo kind of handle himself around, you know, all the different employees and all the different management and coaches, he's the leader and he has those incredible leadership attributes.
And you talked about recruiting a little bit. You're just a year out of the game. You know a lot of guys that are playing in the game right now. This is a time where this organization could be undergoing transformation. When it comes to free agents or those kind of things, the recruiting aspect, we know all about recruiting, right? It's college football town. The more you can sell it, better off it is. I think you're a great salesperson for the city of Columbus and for the Columbus Blue Jackets. How much will you try to influence where you can, if you can, in guys that the organization would like to have be here?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we chatted on, and I don't think it's hard for me to sell Columbus. I've always loved this city. I've always loved this organization. I've made this city my home and the place that I'll raise my family. So I think with me having a lot of relationships around the league and me always coming back to Columbus, it won't be too hard. And I think with the product behind me, with the ownership being so committed to winning and wanting to win now, it's really not a hard sell with the way this organization is, with Yarmo behind it and everyone knowing how brilliant of a mind he is. It's really not a hard sell. I can sell it on how great it is of a place to raise a family, how it's a great lifestyle. You know, you don't really have to worry about traffic. Those things will be the things that I can kind of connect to a player and make them understand.
I am talking with former Blue Jackets captain and now special assistant to the general manager, Rick Nash. And before I continue, let me tell you a little bit about Telhio Credit Union. You know, Telhio Credit Union, they have all the services that you need, whether it's something as simple as a checking account or a savings account. They can help you with that. Maybe it's a personal loan that you need for something that you desperately have to have. Who knows? They have that for you. Whether it's personal, whether it's for your business, your small business, whatever it is, Telhio Credit Union can help you out with it. And all you have to do is visit them online at telhio.org. When you do that, you can find all of the different services that they offer. It's right there at the tip of your finger. And if you can't find the answer to your question, there's a live chat button you can click on, and someone will join you on screen right away to help you out. You can also stop by any of their local Telhio Credit Union offices all around town. Telhio Credit Union is open to everyone in central and southwestern Ohio. They're federally insured by NCUA.
When you left here, of course, you came in here, you were drafted here. When you left here, you went and played in two other big markets, in New York and Boston. And just to get the experience of just seeing how it was done in other places, even if it was briefly, and as a player, how much more does that add to the experience that you have coming back for a job like this? And as you said, you already know how to sell Columbus. That's not a big deal whatsoever. Just getting a little taste of some other things that maybe you had in the back of your mind, too.
Yeah, you know, playing for a couple of original six franchises, it was fun. And, you know, I didn't really know what to expect because I only played in Columbus. And when I left, it was great being a Ranger. It was great being a Bruin. But it was also great being a Blue Jacket, too. And there's a lot of things that, you know, you can get in Columbus that you can't get anywhere else, whether it's our practice facility being attached to the rink and not having to worry about wearing different equipment or switching skates, the traffic, driving an hour outside the city to go to practice. There's a lot of positives to playing in a place like Columbus, and our fans as well. Obviously, anyone that watched the playoffs saw how hard it is to come into Nationwide and win games, and I had experienced that for the 6 years I was gone. So it's fun, and there's some other great things that other organizations have, but when you weigh them up against each other, you should feel pretty special and pretty lucky to play in a place like Columbus.
Do you feel pretty lucky that you're joining this organization at this time where, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, what's going to happen this summer, but there's so much opportunity to form this organization for what it's going to be for the next couple of years?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of an interesting point where we're at with the team, with you know, a lot of unrestricted free agents and some young guys coming up the system that everyone's pretty excited about. It seems like it's one of those times where we are going to have an interest in the next 3 weeks to see what happens. But after spending a lot of time with the guys upstairs and the guys making the calls, I have 100% confidence in them that the right things will be done.
You going to the draft in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Now, once upon a time, you were that guy in the stands who got taken first overall. Now you're going to be in a different role there. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see on how everything goes down on the floor. Obviously, this year, we don't have many picks as of right now, but, you know, it seems like a lot of deals happen at the draft, a lot of things happen at the draft, and, you know, as a player, you're just kind of sitting there nervous, waiting for your name to be called, and you know, this side of it, I think it's going to be fun for me to sit back and watch how all that gets done.
Some surreal things I would imagine for you, and I want to ask you, did you ever think you would come back to the Blue Jackets, be part of the front office, and your good friend Jared Bohl is helping out with the coaches at the same time?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, for me, I always knew that somehow my career would end with the Blue Jackets or in a management role with the Blue Jackets. I just always felt like this, you know, was the right fit for me, and me and the Blue Jackets have had so much history, and it's just always felt like home. And with Jared, who would have thought, you know, the two of us playing over, you know, 7-8 years, that we would be back here and he'd be in a coaching role and I would be upstairs. But it just shows the loyalty that the Blue Jackets have to their past players and the loyalty that the players have to this special organization and special ownership that and the city, it brings people back, and people want to be around this organization.
Yeah, I never thought I'd be sitting on the plane and you and Jared would be sitting in front of me. You're always way behind me in the past, but that was fun during the playoffs. And when you're talking about that, there are other guys that are in the process of their careers are winding down, and they're coming back to make Columbus home as well. How much better is that going to make it? First of all, it's probably exciting for you because they're your former teammates, but when you're talking about selling Columbus and all of that stuff, that helps, doesn't it? There's so many guys that played starting to come back and make this a home.
For sure. And I think for a lot of those guys, they don't realize how good it is here until you leave. And it brings them back, whether it's 5 or 6 or 2 years later, whatever it is. It's just that it's an easy city to live. It's a great place to live. There's nice people. There's great schools. You could just go on and on with everything that the city has to offer. But, you know, when I try to sell it to some players, you know, you say that. We have the alumni is getting bigger. You know, a lot of guys that played here moved back here, and there's a reason for that, and it's because Columbus is a great town.
Is there one point of all the years that you played here, is there one Blue Jackets moment that sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, for me, that was easy. It was the game-tying goal that I scored against Chicago that put us, that I think we needed 1 point to get into the playoffs, and that was the coolest thing for me is to that team in that year, the year after Mr. Mack passed, to get to the playoffs. It just felt like there was more going on than the hockey game there. Everything happened for a reason, and that was probably one of my most special moments here with the Jackets.
And that was going to the playoffs for the first time. Now that it's a franchise, it's been there 3 straight years in a row. There are expectations here. They're very good expectations. How proud of you are you to be a part of the foundation that built this thing to where it is right now, and now you have a chance to affect the future too?
Yeah, that is one thing that I'm really proud of. You know, when we first got here, or when I first got here, you know, hockey wasn't as big as it is now, and it just shows, you know, how many people have put their time and effort, and it's fun for me now to walk around the offices and kind of see those people face to face, where before, as a captain, you would just hear about them, but now I can kind of interact with them and have a different kind of relationship to them, because there's tons of people in this organization that are credited to building hockey what it is in Columbus. And it's been a lot of fun the last few weeks and the last few months being around them. But for me, I will always kind of honor that, how great the Blue Jackets are now, and how it's just been a fun ride for me to watch from the outside and now being on the inside.
Rick, welcome back and welcome home to the Blue Jackets.
Thank you.
So once again, Rick Nash is back in the fold as a special assistant to the general manager. You heard one of the things that we talked about was his job as a recruiter. I think that job is going to be very important for the Blue Jackets. Again, they're going to have a lot of money that they can spend on free agents. And it's not just about spending money on free agents. It's about spending money on the right free agents. When you're trying to build a team, you have to have the right people. We know that. The Blue Jackets do have more young players that are coming on. We saw Alexander Texier right near the end of the season and into the playoffs. We saw some great flashes of brilliance from him. Emil Bemström has now been signed. He had a great season in Europe last year. Another young player the Blue Jackets are hoping that is going to come over and continue that kind of success here in North America. But they need guys to lead them. They need that veteran presence, guys that have been there before, that have done it before, guys that can still do it at a high level in the National Hockey League. And if the Blue Jackets lose the free agents that they are expected to lose, then they're going to have to try to find that experience somewhere else, and they can more than likely find it on the free agent market. Rick Nash, I think, is going to be a very important part of what the Blue Jackets do there. So it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be nerve-wracking to watch all at the same time. My thing is, I'm looking at Matt Duchene. Where is Matt Duchene on this whole thing? How is this going to work out? I feel that Matt Duchene enjoyed his time here at the end of the regular season and through the playoffs for the Blue Jackets. I think it's a great fit. I think he's a young guy. He's got a young family, and that works into the dressing room with a lot of other guys that have young families. But there's also going to be a lot of money on the table. I am going to be interested to see how the Jeff Skinner deal that the Buffalo Sabres signed a couple of weeks ago, where they gave him the $9 million a year for 8 years. I want to see how that affects the market. I think for the Blue Jackets, they cannot overpay for Matt Duchene. I know you're going to say, well, who's going to be the other centerman behind Pierre-Luc Dubois? Who is that guy going to be? They haven't had that guy. I get it. I understand. But I also think you have to be very wary of overpaying, because 4 years down the road, you're going to be lamenting the overpayment that you made today. That's just the scope of things in the National Hockey League. And don't forget, there is another first-round pick that has to be given to the Ottawa Senators if the Blue Jackets sign Matt Duchene. I'm not saying that they are not going to sign him because they don't want to give up that pick. What I'm saying is it's got to be the perfect storm. It's got to be the right situation to give up yet another first-round pick to a team. So there are so many interesting things that are on the table. Are the Blue Jackets really going to go with two young goaltenders, or are they going to look on the free agent market? There's not a lot there, but there is some there. Are they going to look at maybe the possibility of a trade? Just so many things. And I don't know what the mindset is. I don't know what Jarmo Kekalainen's plan of attack is going to be, but it is going to come into full view here, I think, over the course of the next couple of weeks, and that's what's going to make it very exciting. You've also got development camp coming up at Nationwide Arena. When the young prospects are brought in, they'll go through skating drills. They will have a tournament at the end of the development camp. So I'll keep you up to date on all of that. Actually, you can find the dates just by going to the Blue Jackets website at bluejackets.com. But again, as I said, as we go along here over the next couple of weeks, if I talk to somebody significant, if there is significant news, whatever the case may be, when it makes sense to bring you an off-season CBJ in 30, I will be right there to bring it to you. That I can promise. So thanks for joining me today, and thanks to Rick Nash for taking some time to sit down with me. That's going to do it for this off-season edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.